The Hard Shoulder.
With Nissan. Number one for petrol in Ireland. Number one for electric. Nissan. Innovation that excites.
This is News Talk.
There's a children's disco just across the street from where they intend to have this direct provision centre. And young girls, if you came down here on a disco night, you'd see they're scantily enough dressed. And people's just going to be worried about those girls' safety.
These countries that they're coming from, they do not respect women. So every woman in this town, as far as I know, is scared for themselves, their daughters.
The 100 people we have coming to Wicklow, we don't know who they are. We don't know where they're coming from. We don't know what their background is.
Well, that's a flashback to last November. There was a public meeting organised when it was announced that the only hotel in Wicklow town, lovely town, know it well, had a betting shop there for many years. The only hotel, the Grand Hotel, was being taken over by the Department of Justice and Migration Service and converted into a direct provision centre. That report came from Barry White, our own News Talk's Barry White, who rejoins us now because he went back there some months later to find out the mood of the locals. So, how are things?
Hi, Ivan. Yeah, so there are now 83 asylum seekers in the Grand Hotel in Wicklow Town. And I was there yesterday, and these people come from various countries around the world. South Africa, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Uganda, Congo, Nigeria, Afghanistan, Algeria, and then Albania and Georgia. Now, the hotel, which has been accommodating asylum seekers since November last year, it was one of three hotels earmarked as new direct provision centres across the country in November last year. The other two being Rooski in the Roscommon Leitrim border, and the other one being Mayville and Donegal. And Ivan, as we know, it's these two hotels have courted much controversy. There was a fire at the Cash O'Mara Hotel in Mayville in November, and there's been two fires at the Shannon Quay West Hotel in Roscommon, one in January and one earlier this month also. And Adrian Shanner, who owns the Grand Hotel in Wicklow, says because of this, they've had to step up security in Wicklow Town.
Certainly, in the month of December, we were concerned around the fire in Donegal and the two in Rooski. We would still be cautious of security. We closed our car park recently for exactly that reason, not because something had happened. At the time, there was some social media talk that we had been alerted to that gave us some reason to believe that some people had been talking about fires here or that we might be next. So we certainly tightened our security up as a consequence of it.
Towards the back end of last year, as I say, there was a lot of negativity here in Wicklow Town. You faced quite a bit of abuse yourself. Has that died down now?
Yeah, well, certainly in the early days, that sort of abuse was kind of direct. So it was either email, Facebook, social media. It was directed at our staff. So, you know, quite a number of our staff left because of it. But look, I guess at this point, we've moved on from that. So, I mean, personally, I stopped reading that. I stopped, I asked people not to send me details of that when they came across it anymore, as they were doing. So we, as an organisation, we just stopped reading it. We stopped responding. As I said, we kind of focused on the needs of our residents. And, you know, I think to a certain extent, people probably realised that, well, look, our guests are here. They are being well looked after. And I think there's probably a large part of that has been about people's fears have been proven not to be true, and therefore there's no need for that kind of overreaction or commentary or sentiment.
Okay, so it seems quite a lot of progress, Adrian Shanahan there. So have people's attitudes really changed?
Yeah, well, people I spoke to yesterday, their responses compared to what people said to me in November was very, very different. 4 months ago, I attended a public meeting in St Pat's GA Club. The meeting was set up because these asylum seekers were going into the hotel. And the general feeling I got that evening from people was they were completely against this. They wanted to know where these people were coming from. They wanted to know if these people were going to be vetted. And they were generally just upset that the only hotel in the town was being used as a direct provision centre. But yesterday, for the most part, the people I spoke to said they have no problem with the asylum seekers. So yeah, people's original fears seem to have been allayed, and this is what they had to say to me yesterday.
Personally, it's not bothering me. Live and let live, so just let them at it. So once they mind their own business and don't bother people, I'd see them about the street, but other than that, they don't take any notice of it.
Yeah, well, I don't know how what concerns there could be, you know, because, I mean, you don't just say people are you're going to be stabbed by one of them. You're stabbed by one of your own now, you know, the way life is now. I mean, all you have to do is look at the moment and think back over the last couple of years. Many people have been killed. Fires out in the town, they have to go somewhere, you know. And I'm sure if I was in that type of trouble, I'd want to go somewhere. I'd want to be out, wouldn't I?
Well, a good few people did turn out to welcome them. So they did. But we're still mad about losing our hotel. It's dreadful, the main town, and no hotel. So, but they don't seem to give any trouble or anything, so...
I don't know whether they're actually asylum seekers, but I've noticed an increase in numbers of Africans and that. I couldn't say they're asylum seekers. I just take it for granted. More likely they are.
But do you think generally these people are welcome here, or?
I should be wearing my Wicklow badge and say, yes, all are welcome. But I don't think that spirit's there.
Okay, moderate and varied views there. Did you speak to asylum seekers themselves, residents?
Yeah, Ivan, as I said, there's 83 asylum seekers now in the Grand Hotel, and they're from a variety of countries. And I spoke to them yesterday, and basically these people told me that they've come to Ireland because they've been forced to leave the countries they were originally living in. I was also taken on a walk around the hotel yesterday. The facilities that these people need are all there, as far as I could see. Direct provision does attract controversy sometimes, but there's a canteen, there's the bedrooms, obviously, there is a games room, there's a toy room for the children. So, and they told me that everything they need is there. So they seem fairly happy with where they're staying. I also spoke to the residents. Three of them I spoke to are from South Africa, and that they told me, Ivan, how they ended up coming to Ireland.
The main reason we got here because of the extreme crime and violence from where we came, and the fact that our families weren't safe, and I couldn't keep them safe anymore. And the trauma that they were going through got to the point where we decided to come to Ireland and see if we can't seek a better life, especially for our kids, because I mean there's no future for them there where we came from.
That must have been a tough decision, was it, to leave the place where you're from, where you've spent your life?
It's a very tough decision because of the fact that you don't just leave your family or friends behind, but you leave your culture and everything else that goes with it. You basically lose everything you have to come because you can't bring nothing with you.
How dangerous was it in South Africa?
Well, it got to the point where we couldn't, as a family, sleep at night. We had to, one of us stay awake at the windows, although we had burglar bars, we had security, we had dogs, we had the whole thing. And they were still breaking in and still stealing what they could. And now with the farm murders and stuff, it's coming and the police are unable to stop it. It's got to the point where you can't help yourself anymore.
You have children. Did it get to the point where you feared for your children and your family's lives?
Well, we did, and on a number of occasions we actually had to run because of the crime and the violence that was there. And so, for someone, my youngest one is now 12, for her to go through that kind of trauma, it's just not fair.
You find a lot of Ugandans, actually 83% of the youth, they are not employed, and people are languishing in poverty. So when we came up to talk about this to the government, we are terrorists, we are hooligans who do not want a peaceful country. Yet this speaking, what I feel, I'm not doing anything or any crime, I would say. So because of such reasons, we had to, like myself, I had to learn for safety and come in Ireland.
You mentioned that there's killings in Uganda. Have you lost loved ones?
Yes, actually, personally, I had a friend who was really so close to me. And I talked with this person just an hour before he died. And when I got the news that this person died, I could not believe.
Not a lot of people didn't believe me when I said my life was being threatened, you know, and they burnt the house down next door to us. I ran, and then Lauren can tell you why she had to run. But I came here first, but purely out of necessity, not just because I wanted to. It got to a point in South Africa where I can't go back. You don't want to leave, you know, your loved ones. Africa has been my home since I was born. I don't particularly want to be here. I'd rather be in Africa where I know. My friends, my family, my whole life is there. But it's got to a point where I just can't be there anymore.
Can't go back. I actually was going to wait until Dion got papered before I came over. And then last year, I actually had an incident where they tried to snatch my baby from my arms. So he said, that's it, bring my child, let's get, come here. So I had to come, leave my father, my sister, my two older children, I had to leave them behind for the safety of my baby.
Very interesting backstories there. Those latter three asylum seekers, all from South Africa, they had been farmers there. Have they generally been made feel welcome by the people of Wicklow?
Yeah, well, a group called Wicklow Welcomes held a welcoming party for the asylum seekers when they first arrived in the town, and they've been helping them to integrate into the local community. They've also been holding coffee mornings at weekends, and some of the asylum seekers told me that they've actually made friends through these coffee mornings. Now, although the majority of people have been welcoming, and I suppose Irish people, we base ourselves saying we're a very welcoming country, some of the asylum seekers I spoke to in the Grand Hotel said they have experienced some negativity.
You know, you can go into some of the shops and you're welcomed with open arms, and you can go into one or two of the places, and I must say this is the minority, where there has been a little bit of animosity, yeah, and negativity.
How does that make you feel?
You know, it doesn't make you feel good. Like I said to someone that I met that was very negative, I said, now we've run away from our country, not because of anything else except that our families are in danger and our lives are in danger and that there's no future. That doesn't make us bad people. The way this particular person was acting made him the bad person. So, but in general, people have really been actually wonderful in Wicklow.
The negativity, do you think there's almost an ignorance there? Because you've explained to me, you know, your family's life was in danger. You had no choice but to leave South Africa.
It is ignorance, because we've seen, when speaking to people, that they actually have no idea what a refugee is or why he's here. And I think they get this picture in their minds of these boats filled with people coming to, you know, take over and sort of, it's a whole negative picture that they've got. Where if you actually lived with refugees or in a refugee place like the Grand Hotel, you come to find out that most of the people are just normal people who have been either driven from their place or have had to run or have got some kind of issue or problem in their homeland where they couldn't stay. But they're actually just normal people wanting a better life.
In other parts of Ireland, there are direct provision centres proposed to go into hotels in a place called Rooski on the Roscommon-Leitrim border. There's also a direct provision centre proposed to go to a hotel in Mayville and Donegal. Both those hotels have been attacked. When you see that, how does that make you feel?
It scares you to a point, because we come from that. We come from a place where there's riots and demonstrations and property getting damaged and people getting hurt. And we ran away from that. And then you get to a place where you see it actually happening here as well, on a much smaller scale, but it does happen. And that sort of can be scary, because you know, you don't want to run away from a bad situation into something that's maybe even worse. And that's actually a pity, because it's just people don't understand what it's all about.
Now, I've been to Rooski on several occasions. I've been to Mayville. I spoke to people there, and a lot of the people were saying, there's nothing here, you know, with no real facilities, so they're almost saying there's nothing here for the refugees and asylum seekers to fill their days. But does that really matter if you're running away out of fear?
Well, the one thing that amazed us when we got to Ireland was the fact that we could actually see people walking around at night. We could see people with their windows open and no burglar bars on the windows. We could sleep at night. I didn't have to stand up 1 o'clock in the morning and stand and stare out the windows right around my house trying to see who's in my yard and who's jumping and who's killing and who's poisoning my animals. So for us, it wasn't about there's something to do or something not to do. It was more about we could sleep safe at night and we could feel safe. That people don't realize the privilege they have to be able to sleep safely and to feel safe in it, in, you know, when walking in their own towns. It's an amazing privilege that, that the Irish have got.
There was one incident still, you know, I like walking and running, so I was doing my walking, and then I met an old man, like, fuck these people. So he just said that, but I didn't stop because I was doing my stuff, and I just continued, but I didn't take that serious. But he said it to me anyway.
How does that make you feel?
It felt like, yes, I'm a problem to this man's life. That's what I felt. But still, it does not, like, I didn't put it so much personal, because this person also has a reason why he's saying like that. Maybe to his age, he had never thought that other people or group of people could come and live in his, you know, area. And as a way of human beings, you know, when someone is occupying your territory, you feel insecure.
Yeah, I've been here for just over a year now. And I love it here. I originally went to UK because, I mean, my sister and other parts of my family are in the UK. But I didn't like UK at all. Came here for a weekend and never went back. But because I don't have any Irish ancestries or anything, I had to obviously come in through the asylum seeking process. And I've been made to feel very welcome. People are very warm here. Very different in Ireland as it is to England, in my opinion. You know, I'm not going to decry England in any real way, but to put it bluntly, people there are very cold, as opposed to here, they're very warm and friendly, and just how they are in South Africa.
Have you faced any negativity since you've come to Ireland? Asylum seekers, refugees, direct provision centres, it is a controversial topic. I'm sure you've seen some of the stories in the newspapers about fires at hotels and different parts of the country. Have you faced any negativity?
Look, in all honesty, the negativity I've faced is from within the asylum seeking process. I find the people of Ireland are pretty welcoming and, you know, it's fairly accommodating and understanding. The negativity I've faced is people within the asylum having this
entitlement
sort of attitude. And that's the only sort of negativity I've faced and seen. You know, I believe if you anywhere you go, you have to make good of of your life wherever you go. There's no point expecting the system to look after you.
You know, the welcome that I've had here, it's been amazing. The way Ireland is so protective over kids and everything's about the children, that to me is amazing. And it's so nice to be able to actually spend time with my baby. I can't work yet until August because I haven't been here long enough, but I'm enjoying the time with Lilybeth. We're involved in play groups in the town, and the parents there have been amazing. Lilybeth's making friends already, so yes, I don't see myself leaving here. We're very happy in Wicklow. I love that it's a 10-minute walk to the sea. The people are awesome. I haven't had any negativity from the town at all. I don't know, I suppose I look like I belong here, so no, it's been awesome. It really has.
I think Irish are very different to South Africans. South Africans just hear something and in their mind, that's it. Yeah, people listen, you know, and obviously with Wicklow's welcomes, they've educated people in the town and shown them that we're not as bad as it seems, you know, we're not the terrible asylum seekers everyone thinks we are. And they've actually been very accommodating. We've seen what's happened in the past before we got here. But, you know, you walk into the shops, you see people on the street, they all greet you. You know, you can see there's a bit of, what's the word I'm looking for? Maybe nervousness or unsure about what we are, who we are. But once they start talking to you, they seem fine. And they'll remember us when we walk down the street again.
Okay. Very interesting there. And Wicklow is a welcoming place. All right. One texter, there's a population of 10,000 in Wicklow town and rapidly growing. It's a satellite town with the train link, of course, for people working in Dublin and Wicklow and further afield. The population of Rooski is about 300 at best. You cannot compare the two. Well, text me if you're from the Garden County or a goat sucker even. Let me know what you think of the situation in Wicklow. It does seem that a lot of the original fears have abated. Is that a wrong impression? Barry White, thank you as always for that updated report.